I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal! Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez, a quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the first Arsenal Weekly Podcast of the off-season. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Today we'll hear from the legendary actor Sir Ian McKellen during his visit to Emirates Stadium. We'll also kick off, though, an extended interview with Squadron Mustafi. Centre-half Squadron Mustafi's enjoyed a fine debut season with the Gunners after signing from Valencia last summer. Here's our extended interview with the German international on his footballing journey.
Well, my grandfather came to Germany for work from Albania. My dad was born there as well in Albania, but he came to Germany when he was only four. So he grew up in Germany, and then me, my brother, and all of my cousins in my generation, we all were born in Germany, and we grew up in Germany. We went to school in Germany, so we had two mother languages. We had the German language that we grew up with, and we had the Albanian language that we had in the family, you know. So it was not always easy, you know, when you come from a different country, especially for my grandfather and for my father, to get work, speak the language. I mean, everyone knows that it's not easy to learn languages. And then especially when you are in need, when you need to get work and everything, it is quite difficult. But they managed to do it good, and I'm really, really thankful that I could grow up with opportunities that, for example, my dad or my grandfather never had. You know, for me, it was always like I used to cry, and I remember like one game when I used to play for my hometown. We were losing 6-0, and I was crying on the pitch. So my dad took me off, and he went with me in the change room, and he said, "Okay, if you want to play, you can play. You have to learn to lose as well." But I'm not going to let you play crying, because it's not fair to the other players that you're screaming at them. But I was just so angry, and I hated losing so much. So I remember that one, because from that day, I learned to handle defeats as well. But I remember that after that, even when I was losing the next game, I was pretending that I have pain. I was still crying, but I was not crying because I had pain. I was still crying because I was angry, but I couldn't tell my dad, because he would have gone mad at me. So I remember that. So I've been always passionate about football. I love the sport, and I love winning, and I hate losing, and that's what makes me so passionate. I was only 9 at that time. And then my dad told me to try and, well, not be professional, but you have to learn, live with defeats, and live with games that you win. But he said, I remember that he said, like, you're not gonna learn how nice it is to win until you feel how bad it is to lose. So yeah, at that time I was like, no, what is he telling me, you know? But as I grew up, I understand what he wanted to tell me. Like, I started as a striker, and then I signed for Hamburg when I was only 14, as a striker still. But then, I changed it. Well, the coach told me to change the position, and I played in front of the back four. And then, I got called for the German national team under 15. And there I was playing as a centre half. And then when I came back to my club, they said, well, if you play in the national team centre half, we want you to play centre half as well. So I became a centre half. And since I'm 15, I played always as a centre half. The thing is that for me, it was always like, obviously, I had the opportunity. I came from a small, more or less, it is a town, but it's small like a village. So, for me, it was the opportunity to play for a professional club like Hamburg. I didn't ask questions. So if the coach told me to play centre-half, I play centre-half. If he told me to play right-back, I would play right-back. So, I just tried to help the team. I tried to give my best and try to take the opportunity that they gave me. I remember when I decided to sign for Everton, everyone in Germany was like, oh, are you sure? There are a lot of German players who went over and never made it. So are you sure about that? I said, yeah, I don't care too much about decisions that someone else made. I want just to make my decision and go for it. And I had this opportunity. I always wanted to play in the Premier League because I think even back at that time, it was the best league in Europe. So I wanted, it was my dream to play there. And then when I had the opportunity to sign for a club which plays in the Premier League, and it was Everton. And at that time, I remember that they brought a lot of young players from the academy through, like Jack Rodwell, Jose Baxter. And I thought, okay, I try. I go there and I try my best to get into the first team and to play. I knew that it's not going to be easy because I knew that my parents are not going to come with me. I mean, I left home when I was 14. I went to Hamburg to the academy. I was living with the other boys that came from all over Germany, but still without parents, without the friends that you had, without my brother, without my cousins and my family that has always been around me. So it was, that was difficult. But then moving to a different country with only 17, with a different language, with different culture, I knew that it's going to be difficult. But I knew that I'm not someone that don't want to take the risk. You know, if I have an opportunity, I try to take the opportunity. And if I know that it's not going to come again and again and again, because it's football, most of the times you have one opportunity. Maybe if you're lucky twice, you have two opportunities, but not more. So I knew that that's my opportunity and I have to take it. And I was, at that time when I was at Everton, it was really frustrating because I was there, I was playing. The coaches were happy with me, but I was not playing. So I was like, why? What's going on? Like, why? Everyone is talking good, but I'm not playing. So there has to be something that I don't understand. And then you get told to be patient, but it's not that easy because, you know, as I said, you're only 17, 18 years old. You don't think about those things. So it was a frustrating time, but I knew that I had to be patient. There was nothing else left. So yeah, I tried to be patient. I was at Everton we were talking about if I stay at Everton or if I leave. And I said, no, I have to go because it seems like the way is not, my way at Everton is not going to continue and I'm not going to get the opportunity that I need to play. But then, even if you want to change club, I never played. I only played reserve football in the national team and the youth teams. So it was difficult to get clubs that wanted me. And then when I had the opportunity to go to Italy, to Sampdoria, it was a risky one because it was one from a Premier League club to a second division in Italy. And I was really worried about it, but I said, well, I have to take a step back and try and make two steps forward. But I know that it was not easy because I had a lot of friends which I played together who went a step back and then went another step back and another step back. So I knew it's going to be difficult, but I had to take the risk again to go again to a different country, again a different language, again a different culture, again different people around me, again different football, and try and take the opportunity that Sampdoria gave me. It helped me a lot to... Well, it started really frustrating again because I went to Sampdoria. They were in the second division at the time when I went to them because I went in the winter. I went in January. We were 10th at that time. So it looked really difficult because they dropped to the second division, but the same year they wanted to go up again, you know. So it looked a bit difficult to get again to the first division. At the time when I went there, we were 10th, and I didn't play. And there was game after game after game where I was not playing, and I was not understanding what people were telling me because I didn't understand the language. I still were training good. Everyone was talking good. Everyone was saying, yeah, you have to be patient again. It was everything about patience. I was like, no, I don't want to be patient here as well again now. They said that it is a really difficult time, the club, and they don't want to, like, I can't remember the word, we don't want to burn you. Like, we don't want you to come in without confidence because you haven't played, you haven't been playing, you don't know the language, you're not used to the Italian football, making a mistake because the people in Italy are quite difficult, you know, when you make a mistake and you're in the second, you dropped, the team dropped to the second division. So they said, you have to be patient again. And at that time, I was still thinking, oh, that's excuses again, you know. Why is everyone telling me I have to be patient? And but at that first 6 months, I never played. We did well, though, as a team. We went again to the sixth on the table. We went up because in Italy, the first two go up straight away. From the third place to the sixth, they play the playoffs. So we did well to come from the sixth place to go up to the first division. And then even the next year when we started the season, I was not playing regularly. I was playing sometimes when I had the opportunity, but I was thankful for that because I got my opportunities to play, and I think I played 18 games or 17 games that year. And then the year after, finally, I got my place, and I was playing every game. I think I played 34 games, nearly all my games. I scored one goal, and that gave me the opportunity to maybe get the place in the national team. I got a call just a few months before the World Cup to go and play against... we had a game against Chile, a friendly game with Germany. That was the first time I was in the squad, so I was really, really excited, you know. Still people, you know, like friends and family, they were saying, you know what, I'm smelling a bit the opportunity to you going to the World Cup. And I was like, what are you saying? It's in 3 months and it's the first time that I went with the national team and I didn't even play, you know. I was on the bench. I did the training session, but I never played. So, I said, no way. I never thought about it, you know. But then the next game, again, I got called. I played that game. And, suddenly I was in the 30-man squad just before we went to the World Cup. But then there we had a small training camp where we had like a week or 2 weeks, I think, we did training before we went to Brazil. And after that, I never got called for the 23, for the last 23. But for me, it was still, I achieved more than I wanted, you know, because my goal was at the beginning of the season to get my place as a centre-half and play most of the games for Sampdoria, but then I got called in the national team. I went to the last 30 to make the squad for Brazil. So I said to me, okay, it's no time to be disappointed. It's difficult because if you are so close and you don't go, it's really disappointed. But I said, no, I have to think positive and think that I achieved more than I wanted, and then try and go for the next season again. Play a good season to again make the squad for the national team. But then, yeah, unfortunately, Marco Reus got injured in the last game just before they went to Brazil. I saw that game, and I was after he got injured, I was hoping, obviously, that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That he's fine, but then in the next day I read in the newspapers that he's not going to make it, and that Germany is going to call someone else. And I was not thinking that it's going to be me, because he's an offensive player. So I think it's no way, because there were a few offensive players that were left out of the last 23 as well. So I thought, okay, maybe one of them's going to get the opportunity now to go back with the team. But then I got a call. I was in the car. I got a call. I missed the first one. And then the assistant coach called me, and I didn't miss that one. So I talked to him, and he said, "Yeah, you have to be quick, because we're waiting for you in Frankfurt at the airport." And I was like, "Why?" Like, "Yeah, Marco Reus is injured, and the coach wants you to make the squad and to come with us to Brazil." And I was like, okay. I didn't ask many more questions. I said, okay. I went home, packed my bags, and then I went straight to the airport. I couldn't realize it, because it was the only thing I was listening is like a friend of my dad. They are friends for a lot of years, he used to tell me when the World Cup 2010 was. He used to tell me, "Yeah, listen, you're gonna make 2014," but it was like 4 years away. So I was like, "What is he talking about? I'm not even playing at Everton. I'm a reserve player." And he was always like, "Yeah, remember that you're gonna play 2014." So at that day, I remember I was packing my bags, and he just jumped into my room and said, "Listen, I told you 4 years ago you're gonna make it." And I was like, "Yeah, I know, I remember, but I never, to be honest, I never believed that I'm gonna make it." But yeah, now I'm gonna go. But then, as well, I went there and I was thinking, okay, so we are 23. Obviously, I'm in the squad now, but it's gonna be difficult to get a game, you know. And then, even then, it's difficult, because you are sitting there and you try to help the team, but not playing is always difficult. Even though you know, okay, you just made it, so you have to be patient again. It's all about patience, but it's difficult. So I was saying, okay, I know that I'm going to go, but I'm going to try my best, train hard, and then see if I maybe get an opportunity. But then in the first game, I came in for Hummels, who went off injured. The second game I played, two games later, I played from the beginning. So it was, yeah, it was so strange, because from not being in the squad, being the first substitution, playing the second game, playing again a game, and I was like, what's going on, you know? It was so unbelievable for me, because it was the first game in the World Cup was my first, well, I played one game before, but we played only with the young people, because the coach wanted to see all the young players. So it was my first proper game for Germany, and it was in the World Cup, and it was against Portugal, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? And so it was really, really strange. And I was really, really excited. But yeah, and then in the end, we won the World Cup. So it was a brilliant story. I saw that there's an opportunity to go again the next step, but not trying to skip too many steps. You know, I didn't want to go to the biggest club asking for me, but I was trying to go to the next step, where I'm going to get the opportunity to play again, because what I didn't want to do is go into a big club and not playing and then dropping again. So I tried, after I made my step backwards from Everton, I tried to go step forwards, but small steps. I didn't want to go big steps and go back steps. So I tried to go step after step. So when I got the call from Valencia, that they're saying that they're looking for a centre half, they're missing a centre half. They signed Otamendi just before I went there. So they said they want someone to partner Otamendi as a centre half. Obviously, it's not a gift. You're not gonna go there and you have your place safe. But I saw that there's a hole which I could fill. So yeah, I tried. I talked to them. Everything sounds good. The people at that time who were the sporting director, they were brilliant as a person, but even as a footballer, because it was Ayala and Rufete who both played for Valencia. And I could feel that they really wanted me. So I made the decision to go to Valencia. To be honest, at the beginning, it was like, no, I'm done with England, because it was really frustrating. As I said, it was probably the worst time that I had as a football player. The people were absolutely fine. It's just, as a footballer, if you go to a club and you're not playing, you know, you leave your country to go to a different country and you're not playing, it's really disappointing. And no one tells you why, you know. That was the other thing, because if someone tells you, listen, you're not good enough, you know, okay, I have to work on myself, but at least you know something. But everything seemed like, yeah, everything is fine, I'm good and everything, but I'm not playing. So I was done at that time with England. I said, no, England is just not my country. Not, I don't want to go there again. But then after I played for Valencia, I realized that when I went to Sampdoria, I realized that I was still interested in looking the games and looking the results in England. And I started to think, okay, probably I could imagine going back to England. And then obviously when I went to Valencia, the first year was brilliant. Then the second year we were struggling a bit. And when it came down to making again a decision to stay or to leave, I was thinking, well, to be honest, now if I leave Valencia, probably I would just leave it if I have the opportunity to go to England. And I was thankful that I had again the opportunity to make again a step forward and coming to Arsenal. For the rest of my life, I don't want to be patient anymore.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, lovely goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On June the 20th, 1995, Dennis Bergkamp arrived at Highbury. After failing to score in his opening six games, he broke his duck with a double against Southampton that September.
And he's raced on past Richard Hall. Right, going to the near post. Bergkamp! There it is at long, long last in his seventh Premiership game, and now he's in seventh heaven. Bergkamp. And he's got within range! And now he most certainly has found the range in Arsenal's colours. Splendid goal, and Arsenal are back in front.
Bergkamp would go on to mesmerise and delight Gunners fans over the next 11 years with moments of magic like that goal against Newcastle in 2002.
Torres, Wiltord makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabizas totally stranded.
Dennis would finish his illustrious Arsenal career with 120 goals in 423 appearances, winning three Premier League titles and four FA Cups. And he's been immortalised with a statue outside the Emirates. So Ian McKellen is one of the most recognisable actors in the world. He visited Emirates Stadium with his family last season to raise awareness for a charity very close to his heart.
So Ian, welcome to Emirates Stadium.
I'm a local. I don't live far away, but I've never been. Thrilled to bits.
It's your first football experience since 1955. What do you remember about that one?
Well, my team lost. It was Bolton Wanderers and they were playing away. So it was the second team or reserves?
Yeah, reserves.
They lost. And I was so disheartened I never went back. But, I mean, up there, there was plenty of rugby league and cricket. They were my big spectator sports. But somehow, I don't know, so many of my friends are mad about football, and including my nephew and his son here. So I said, last time I said, won't you take me to a match? And they picked this one, because they're Arsenal supporters. So I am certainly for the day.
How does the experience here compare to the one back at Burnden Park?
There were more people at Burnden Park than there are here at the moment. It was very homely. In the middle of a small town, there was the pitch, you know, and so people walked to it from home, and the streets were crowded, but... Bolton had a long and glorious history, and Nat Lofthouse, had I been lucky, would have been playing for the first 11, but I didn't see him. I did meet him later on, nice man. Because the big thing in those days was that the teams were local. And when I was living in Wigan and went to Rugby League, the captain of Wigan Rugby League club's son was in my class at school. They were all minors, you know, semi-professionals. Soccer, I'm not quite sure whether they were semi-professionals. Would you know in the 1950s, would they be professional? Yeah. But they'd be local.
Yeah, and paid very little.
And taking
the bus to the stadium.
Yes, probably. Not like having a quick fag before they ran on. So obviously huge difference now. But it all happened because of TV, didn't it? And suddenly there was money.
As a legend of the stage and the screen, you can appreciate the theatre that sport brings.
I certainly can. And entre nous, I think I've come here as much to see the audience and hear them as the players. But I'm sure I'll get caught up. It's just this offside rule. I've never quite. I know what it is. I can see it on paper. But what baffles me is when I'm watching a game at home and someone else says, "Oh, way offside!" And I think, "Who are you looking at?" But I gather you've got special Hawkeyes now to sort that out, have you?
We have linesmen who hopefully will do their job. Also, you have two experts with you. Now, I know you're from Lancashire, but yeah. We'd like to claim you as an Arsenal fan, so we're going to move to Harry and Stephen. First of all, why are you two Arsenal fans?
Okay, I was an Arsenal fan from Charlie George, 1971. That was really... all the kids in my playground, we picked Arsenal and Liverpool, I picked Arsenal, and that was it from there. So... Then when I was younger, I lived in Colchester. I used to get the train to come and watch matches, so I went to Highbury a lot. And then I live in the north now, so I only get to three or four games a season. So.
And Harry, how about yourself? Who are your favourite players and why Arsenal for you?
Arsenal because my dad supports Arsenal and I want to. And my favourite player is Alexis Sanchez because I think he's really good. And my favourite goal from him is in the FA Cup final against Aston Villa, and he smashed it.
Wonderful, wonderful goal. What would you say to your great uncle to make him an Arsenal fan?
We should watch a lot of games because he lives close.
There we are. Watch the games. That's the point, isn't it? Well, this is a good start because maybe I'm going to fall in love with it all and become a regular and try and get a ticket every week.
Is that enough for you, Sir Ian? You're now a bona fide Arsenal fan from that?
Sure. I'll say anything for the camera. But look here, you must just come down to my boots, my shoes. You see, I don't know if you know what these are. These are rainbow laces, and your team's worn them. I know in support of LGBT fans and indeed players. There must be some LGBT players. We're waiting for them to come out and declare themselves. But so I'm here supporting that initiative.
Fantastic. We've heard your voice in the live adaptation of Beauty and the Beast this year. Where will we see you or hear you next?
Well, you could walk to it. I'm going to support a little theatre in Finsbury Park, which is strapped for cash. So I'm going to give them a week of solo performances, and they'll have a bit of money. And then I'm going to play King Lear by Shakespeare and Chichester. And then the rest of the time, I'm not doing much, which is why I can come here.
And if you're in Finsbury Park, Sir Ian, plenty of opportunities to come down the road and watch another Arsenal game.
Exactly, not far away.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Well, that's full time on this week's summer show. Our thanks to Skodra Mustafi and Sir Ian McKellen for their contributions today. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast these days as well, so you've never got the excuse to miss another episode. We're back for the second summer podcast on Monday, the 3rd of July.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.